23, the demigods regain the heavenly planet, text 13. Atahoshanasam Rajan, Harianarayanam Tike, Asinam Vitvijam Majje, Sarasi Brahma Varinam. Atahoshanasam Rajan, Harirnarayanam Tike, Asinam Vitvijam Majje, Sarasi Brahma Varinam, Atahoshanasam Rajan, Harirnarayanam Tike, Asinam Ritvijam Madhye, Parasi Brahma Varinam, Asa, thereafter, Aha, said, Ushanasam, unto Shukracharya. Rajan, O King. Hari, the Supreme Personality Godhead. Narayana, the Lord. Antike, nearby. Asinam, who was sitting. Ritvijam Madhye, in the group of all the priests. Sarasi, in the assembly. Brahmavarinam, of the followers of Vedic principles. Translation. Narayan thereafter addressed Shukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priests, Brahma, Bhuta, Udgata, and Advaryu. Oh, Maharaj Prichit, these priests were all Brahmavadis, followers of the Vedic principles for performing sacrifices. Next text. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, Shukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple, Vali Maharaj, who engaged in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmanas. That is, Lord, to Shukracharya. Purport. When Vali Maharaj and Pallad Maharaj had departed for the planet Sukala, Lord Vishnu asked Shukracharya what the fault was in Vali Maharaj for which Shukracharya had cursed him. It might be argued that since Vali Maharaj had now left the scene, how could his fault be judged? In reply to this, Lord Vishnu informed Shukracharya that there was no need for Vali Maharaj's presence, for his fault and discrepancies could be nullified if judged before the Brahmanas. As will be seen in the next verse, Vali Maharaj had no faults. Shukracharya had unnecessarily cursed him. Nonetheless, this was better for Vali Maharaj. Being cursed by Shukracharya, Vali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, with the result that the Supreme Personality of God had favored him for his strong faith and devotional service. Of course, a devotee is not required to engage in fruitive activities. As stated in the Shastra, Sarvahanam Achyuteja, by worshipping Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of God had one satisfied everyone. Because Vali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performance of sacrifices. Om again, Timanandasya, Genanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshu, Militanyena, Tajmai, Sri Gurave Namaha. Lord Vamadev has dealt with Bali Maharaj and also Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather. Bali Maharaj has lost the whole universe in a few moments to the three steps of Trivikram, another name for Vamadev. What other names does Vamadev have? Who knows? Upendra. Upendra, Trivikram, Vamadev. So, the Lord took everything away from Bali Maharaj and rewarded him with his own residence. Though seemingly in the lower planets, Sutala, his residence would have the Lord there as Bali Maharaj's dormer, and the opulence of that abode would exceed the heavenly planets. Krishna can make what he likes out of material circumstances. Conventionally, it seems that Bali Maharaj was sent to hell. He did not fulfill his promise. He had nowhere for the Lord to put his third step. Therefore, he offered his head because he had run out of land. But although he's sent to hell for not fulfilling his promise, what is the nature of that hell? It's more opulent than the heavenly planets by the grace of the Lord. And also he has Lord Vishnu as his doorman. We were speaking last night in our program how Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. In that way, the Supreme Absolute Truth becomes subordinate to his devotees voluntarily. And now we're hearing about Lord Vishnu becoming the doorman for Bali Maharaj. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he was glorifying Lord Vamadev for his wonderful pastimes. And the Lord said, "My dear son Prahlad," as you all know, Prahlad Maharaj is Bali Maharaj's grandfather, "all good fortune unto you. You please also go to that place known as Sutala. Spend some time there and be happy with your grandson, the devotee." It is not that Krishna consciousness is against association, that we have to keep ourselves very impersonal, like ice boxes. We're not concerned with anyone else. No. Krishna consciousness teaches us how actually to be concerned for others. The Lord here is telling Prahlad Maharaj, go to the planet of Sutala, there your grandson, Bali Maharaj is, and the rest of your relatives and friends. So be happy with them. Does that mean be happy in material enjoyment? No. There is happiness in Krishna consciousness by associating for the purpose of service to the Lord. Our problem is that we think happiness comes by association for sense gratification, frivolous talk, so on and so forth, increasing the ambitions and appetites for material enjoyment. We think that is what association is for. Therefore, actually, not only non-devotees, but even some of our devotees have a tough time with the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna is advocating association, but through killing. Krishna is the supreme lover, and he's telling Arjuna, kill everybody. How can this be? Sometimes even our own devotees forget to try and understand this pastime of the Lord. As we were explaining yesterday, because everything is Krishna's, he knows how best to deal with everything. Even if it seems that it is simply destruction, it is not simply destruction. When you go to the dentist and you have a tooth that's bad and he pulls it out, is that bad? If you have appendicitis, and you go have an operation to have the appendix removed, is that bad? No. It's actually an act of mercy by the doctor to remove a bad tooth or a bad appendix. Similarly, it was Krishna's great love to cause the Bhava Kurukshetra and remove the unwanted organisms, to remove the unwanted living entities from the world. And in fact, everyone who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they attained their original spiritual form. So who can be more loving than Krishna? Even when Krishna seems to be causing destruction, he's still the greatest lover. We must get that conviction. That is what Uddhava explained in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho Bhakyam Sthanakala Sutta. Who could be more merciful than Krishna when the female witch, Putana, Bhakti, she's the sister of Bhakasura, the duck demon. When the female witch Putana, or Bhakti, came to baby Krishna with her breast smeared with poison, the Lord accepted her as his mother while sucking out her very life. And he gave her a position in the spiritual world comparable to his own mother, Yashoda. So who can be more merciful? Who do you know more merciful than Krishna? Even when he's causing destruction, it's still the greatest love. Your faith in Krishna consciousness will not be strong until you can appreciate the Lord in that way. Association is meant to give pleasure to Krishna. Our association of devotees is not just for hanging out, frivolous talk, gossiping, fault finding. No. Association amongst devotees is meant to inspire one another, how to increase service to Krishna. Not that we get together and discuss how impossible it is to go back to Godhead. Not that we get together and discuss all the insurmountable impediments. We're just not going to make it. And no one's making it anyway. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with falling in line. Everyone falls in line. That is not what the association of devotees is meant for. And if you find that your association is like that, it means you're in the wrong association. You're associating with the wrong person. That's why the nectar of devotion instructs that you should always associate with devotees considered more advanced than yourself. So that you get uplifted, not constantly reminded of all of how impossible the Krishna conscious endeavor is. As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy, and for one who forgets Lord Chaitanya, easy things become difficult. So associate with devotees who are always trying to remember Lord Chaitanya. That means remembering Lord Chaitanya's mission. Then, in spite of all the problems in this world, which will come, still you'll find you're making advancement. From the material point of view, Bali Maharaj has lost everything. But from the spiritual point of view, he is the most glorious. He's the prime example of Atmanivedana, surrendering everything to Krishna. So, after dealing with Bali Maharaj and then Prahlad Maharaj, now Lord Vamadeva is going to deal with Shukracharya, the famous priest, whose very name lets you know his main qualification. Shukra means Semana, Acharya, teacher. His qualification for being a spiritual teacher was that he comes in a family line of professional priests. Biological qualification. My father was a priest, his father was a priest, therefore I'm a priest too. That is not spiritual qualifications. In any case, Lord Vamadeva is also going to deal with him. He's asking, oh, best of the Brahmanas, Shukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple, Bali Maharaj. Please point out the fault in his ritualistic procedure. If you remember, Shukracharya cursed Bali Maharaj because Bali Maharaj refused to follow his order. Bali Maharaj wanted to give everything to the Brahmana boy. Shukracharya pointed out, it's Vishnu, don't give him anything, you'll lose everything. And when you lose everything, how are you going to be able to give me my reward for organizing your sacrifices and rituals? If you give everything to Vishnu, you'll be poor, and then I will get my tips. So, as you all know, Bali Maharaj went ahead and surrendered everything to Vamadeva, in spite of Shukracharya's advice, in spite of Shukracharya's order, in spite of Shukracharya's curse. But still, the Lord is now asking Shukracharya, okay, you're so attached to your rituals, and you think that Bali Maharaj has not properly executed that sacrifice, so please describe the discrepancy. Let's deal with that. Just see how all-inclusive Krishna is. Krishna can deal with pure surrender, and he can also deal with Brahmanas who are attached to the rituals of the Vedas. Krishna is going to uphold both the principle of surrender to Krishna and the principle of Vedic sacrifice and ritual. Bali Maharaj has gotten his reciprocation as a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, has been glorified as a pure devotee. Now the Lord is going to turn his attention to the temporary, mundane realm of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. And to uphold the system, for those who are attached to it, the Lord is going to say, okay, Shukracharya, let's review the whole sacrificial procedure. Let's correct any mistake. You see, for those who are materially attached, the Vedic rules and regulations of ritual are there, so they may be gradually purified by karma kanda, acting for sense gratification in a legitimate way. But is there any legitimate sense gratification action? No. The Vedic injunctions for karma kanda are meant for those who are not very intelligent. How to perform good karma. Anyone with a brain knows that whether the karma is good or bad, it binds. But lower than the karma kandis, lower than those who are interested in good karma, are those you have today, who aren't concerned with any rule or regulation, not even for good karma, not even for material piety. They don't care about anything. They're so savage that even if you bring up something as basic as the four regular principles, they are horrified. No, this is sex. Not any intoxication, not even the softer pleasure drugs. No meat eating? Okay, we can start to understand that. We'll call it eggs. No gambling? No. These things do not make you transcendental. The four regular principles make you into a human being. When the four regular principles are combined with chanting the holy name, then you have everything you need to be in the mode of goodness. How do you remain in the mode of goodness? Follow the four regular principles, chant the holy name, and then you're stationed in the mode of goodness. Simply the regular principles without the holy name, however, that will not allow you to rise up through the modes. And of course, once established in the mode of goodness, then you make further progress beyond even the material mode of goodness. One devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada how to remain in the mode of goodness. You did through elaborate rituals, elaborate this, this, and that. Kali Yuga is such an intricate, complicated place. Everything in Kali Yuga makes spiritual life difficult. How do you stay in the mode of goodness? Srila Prabhupada explains, just follow the four regular principles and chant Hare Krishna as you're told to. Automatically you're there in the mode of goodness. At least that much. You don't have to become aware of all the complicated Vedic rituals and procedures for good karma, Vedic sacrifices. Just follow the regular principles and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we want more than the mode of goodness. We want to become free from the restraints of the gunas. And certainly, chanting Hare Krishna will do that. It's amazing. You'll find out as the years go by how, in spite of yourself, you're making spiritual advancement. That'll be the amazing thing. In spite of myself, I'm making spiritual advancement. How can this be? It's because of the holy name. At first, when you come to Krishna consciousness, practically your first 10 years or so, you're thinking, I've got abilities, I've got this, I've got that. When will Krishna notice me? When will the other devotees notice me? Then, after a while, you begin to realize, there's nothing valuable about me, but still I'm becoming Krishna conscious. How is that? That's because of the holy name. The simple thing. Following sadhana bhakti, the process of devotional service. Trying to sacrifice for the spreading of Krishna's glory. And when you look back, you'll be able to notice. Even when you participated in endeavors which didn't seem to work out. You know, the temple had this plan, we had that plan, this preaching plan, or this plan to make money, or this plan how to expand this way, that way, and it didn't work out. The manager quit, or there wasn't enough money, or it was a whole spaced out plan, whatever. As the years go by, you'll notice that if you sincerely tried to serve Krishna, even if the plan didn't work, you still made spiritual advancement. Krishna holds you responsible for your Krishna consciousness. How did you try to please him? Krishna already has everything. He just wants to see what you're going to do. How are you going to try? Certainly we want to do things as nice as possible for the Lord. But we're not the supreme controller. We can just make sure that we ourselves are doing everything in our power to make sure the Lord gets a nice offering. That doesn't mean we are not concerned with what others do. If it's within our influence to inspire others to do better, we do that. That's also part of being a good servant of the Lord. But at the same time, even if something doesn't appear to materially work out, if we have done our best, then you'll be satisfied. And you'll be able to understand that Krishna is satisfied. Somehow that we have to produce devotees who will hang in there for the duration. At least a few. And that means you have to understand bhakti yoga. That even if there appears to be some material fault, still, if there is heartfelt endeavor to please Krishna, the Lord is satisfied. That's no excuse not to try and do everything nicely. But at the same time, it's a fact. We're not the supreme controller. Krishna relishes your effort of sacrifice. Krishna relishes how you're trying with great care and concern to make things nice to present to the Lord. Krishna notices that. And as the years go by, you'll realize that Krishna does notice that, and you'll become peaceful. Not peaceful in that you just go to sleep all day. Peaceful in endeavoring to please Krishna. You'll just try to do something to please Krishna. The opening anxiety, oh, what about this Prabhu and that Prabhu and this plan and that resolution and this and that? You'll just, within whatever circumstances you had, you'll try to please Krishna. With confidence, knowing, if I'm sincere, Krishna will accept my offering. How do you know Krishna's accepted your offering? You sing every morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagatika Topi. You may say, I don't see Krishna. How do I know that Krishna is pleased? If the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. So simple. There's no way of pleasing Krishna without pleasing your spiritual master. That is Krishna's system. Now, materially, you might try to analyze it and take it apart. What does my giving pleasure to Krishna have to do with so-and-so? I don't even know if he knows everything I'm doing. No, you can't logically and empirically understand the system like that. You just take Krishna's word for it. That because it's Krishna's system, things work that way. Shukracharya is now going to protest to the Lord. Why should we think that there's been some discrepancy by Bali Maharaj? He's beyond all these Vedic rituals. He satisfied you. Therefore, how can there be any discrepancy in the ritual? Shukracharya is rising up real quick. You're the Yajna Purush, the person to whom all the sacrifices are given. You're the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. Bali Maharaj pleased you. Therefore, in other words, the sacrifice has been perfect. Never mind there appears to be some procedural fault. How can there be fault? He pleased you. That's the goal of all sacrifices anyway. Still, though, he said, because you've ordered me to review the sacrifice, go over all the procedures and uncover any faults, I'll do that. So once again, you see how the Lord is both maintaining the super excellence of bhakti yoga and at the same time making sure the Vedic rules and regulations of ritual, karmakandya, they get their due prestige. But now Shukracharya, he's saying, what's the big deal about these Vedic rituals? Bali Maharaj has pleased you. This is the power of bhakti yoga. And it's especially important for us because in Kali Yuga, there's no karmakandya performances. There's no system of rituals and yajnas for pleasing the Lord as in previous ages. There's only one good thing. Asti Heko Mahanguna. Only, Sukadeva Goswami says to Prithviraj, there's certainly only one good thing. Now what are you going to do? Spend your life looking for something else? There's got to be some other good. Now, Asti Heko Mahanguna. Certainly only one. This is what Sukadeva Goswami says in the 12th canon after describing the horrors of the age of Kali to Prithviraj. Certainly only one good thing. And what is our business? How to look for other good things. Oh, it can't be that bad. There's got to be some happiness in this world. No. Only one good thing, the age of Kali. Kirtanare Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambhaje. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll become liberated from material entanglement and go back to Godhead. How many of you think that you want to go back to Godhead? How many are willing to pay the price? That is the problem. If you want to go, you have to pay the price. If you're smart, you'll organize your life how to go back to Godhead. And you'll associate with those who want to go, not who just say like that, but who actually want to. It takes training, discipline, tolerance, patience, putting up with things you've never put up with for yourself. Isn't that what it's all about? For Krishna's pleasure, you put up with things you never would put up with for yourself. Have you noticed that? Isn't that love, though? Or at least the beginning of love? To tolerate on behalf of the beloved, for the sake of the beloved? How many of you have done things for Krishna's service that normally you never do for yourself? Everyone. Go on like that and you go back to Godhead. Our problem, though, generally is we do it for a few years and then we think, hey, this is enough of that. Time for Krishna to do something for me. Or else the inevitable distresses in this world come upon us. The world is full of distress, but it doesn't have to come upon you. But we start identifying with the distress, their family problems, managemental problems, this problem, that problem. We identify with it in such a way that our service decreases. And then we start to wonder, what's Krishna doing for me? Krishna owes me something. It's time for him to pay up. It takes some training and discipline how not to fall into that rut. And it takes some good association. Bali Maharaj had a severe situation, and look at the result. Our severe situations also, if we remain loyal to Krishna, the result will be good. Sometimes, what can you do? There's so much chaos in the world today. Just for our Krishna conscious families to stay together, it's just... it seems to be a major endeavor. When actually, simply family staying together is no cause to rejoice. That's just good material life. Because it's so hard just to keep families together. We're afraid to try to understand Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is telling Arjuna, kill all, kill everybody. I don't care about the family. Sometimes the wife is good and the husband goes bad. Or then the husband's good and the wife goes bad. Or sometimes, you know, first one, then the other, then they switch. One's up, the other's down. Then the other's up, then the other one's down. Then they're both down. And they're both up. And then this and then that. We have to start... remembering how to perform steady devotional service. Steady devotional service is based on, even if you don't feel like it, you still do it. You still practice sadhana bhakti, even if you don't feel like it. But the trap I notice so many of us fall into is that as the years go by, we think, I don't feel like it anymore. I don't see how it does, I don't see how it makes me feel good anymore. Therefore, I'm not going to be so serious about my Krishna conscious execution. And I do believe in Krishna. He's the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe in him. You come to my house, you'll see so many pictures on the walls. I have my altar. I write a letter every half year to my Guru Maharaj. I keep him very well informed as long as he doesn't get on my case too much. Basically, you know, it comes down to the fact that we have imperfect senses. I notice how we forget that. Especially as the years go by in Krishna consciousness, you get a sense of mode of goodness, contentment, and you forget. Still, your senses are imperfect. You have to rely on hearing. Krishna says, therefore we accept. Not blind faith, though. If you simply agree to accept what Krishna says, you'll get experience. But as soon as we stop hearing, and as soon as we begin to base our life on imperfect sense perception, then the experience fades. Things go easier, however, if you can find devotees who are serious. Not devotees who just want to assist you in being slack. Find some devotees who have some backbone, who will advise you. Never mind how we feel. Let's go on with our chanting. Let's go on with our service to the deity. Let's go on with our bhakti. Yes, sometimes I also feel like that, but still I go on. Those are the persons who will become Krishna conscious. But as soon as you make the mistake of basing everything on your sense perception, I just don't feel right about it anymore. It just doesn't make me feel good. Unfortunately, too many times I've heard, I've tried chanting and I just don't get anything out of it. I just don't feel anything from it. We all need each other's help. That is why we have these temples. We can associate, appeal to the deities for help, and associate with one another for help. Otherwise, we forget so easy. Have you noticed how easy we forget? It's amazing. Material atmosphere is so powerful. We're so prone to forgetfulness. So whether you're a single or married, we all need to have association to keep us inspired how to go back to God. That was Prabhupada's hope. But that can't just be a sentiment. We have to actually work at it. That's our career, you know, to go back to Godhead. So we need career counseling. We need career guidance. Like someone was telling me, I think it was Ramesh on the Janani Vasa's job, they tested everybody, evaluated everybody to see who had management potential. Yes. Who should be trained for higher management, who had that kind of ability. Sorting through everybody, interrogating everybody, analyzing everybody. So we want to ask ourselves, do we want to go back to God? Are we fit for that career? Never mind how you've chosen to be married or not, still you're supposed to go back to Godhead. There are proper ways in every ashram how to go back to Godhead. Let's not push that goal away. It's just not possible. Maybe when I'm older, I'll think about it more. And we've got to be for real about our material senses, you know? We've got to really take them into account. Yes, you can take your material senses into account according to the Varnashrama guidelines. But the whole point is how to go back to Godhead. Any questions?
Thank you.
western half of Bhagavad Gita? Who could be more honest than Arjuna? My skin's burning, my body's trembling, tears are in my eyes, my mouth dried up. Who could be more honest than that? He was in Maya. He was in Maya by Krishna's arrangement. Natasapnomyavastatu. Krishna, let's drive the chariot back. Let's get out of here. He was in Maya. One minute he's saying, Senor Vayormaje, Pratum Stapaya Mishrita, Achuta, infallible Lord, drive my chariot in between the two armies so I may see who is desiring to fight here. Chariot, Krishna the chariot driver, white horses, the flag of Hanuman flying, the great servant of Lord Ram, gets in the middle of the battlefield, looks, and falls into Maya. Next is, let's go away. My skin is burning.
I can't fight. Namitani Kapachami Vipalitani Keshava. I only see the opposite of Keshava. I see the opposite of what we expect. I don't see how any good can come out of this. You're supposed to be the expert in everyone's welfare. How can this battle be good for anyone? He was getting on Krishna's case, even. And then he surrendered. Okay, this is the way I see it. Now, you tell me what's best for me. So we forget that last part there. You understand? So, yes, it's very nice to present your situation as you see it, just like Arjuna did. But don't forget that verse in the 11th verse in the second chapter, 11 or 9. In this condition, I'm surrendering to you. I'm asking you, you instruct me, I'm surrendering to you. All talks as friends are finished. You are the teacher, I'm the student. So if you remember that, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. And you can help so many others, too. Once you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will use you to teach others. So it's not only a victory for yourself, it's a victory for others, too. Just like Arjuna's victory is our victory.
You should come see the deity. You should share in the worship of the deity. you should contribute something to the spreading of Krishna consciousness, along with your other duties. It doesn't mean your other duties are not Krishna conscious, but certain things have to be there. And when those certain things aren't there, everything else drifts. So there have to be certain fundamental principles that are common to all ashrams. Doesn't mean that the other activities of the ashrams are all maya. No. But there has to be a certain core of activities that, if you don't follow that, you'll notice the result. There is a core of activities. If you don't follow, you'll notice the result. If, for example, householders do not chant 16 rounds because, even though they have children, that is improper. It's not that at initiation you take your vow, I promise to chant 16 rounds except when I have more than one kid. We don't remember any vows like that, do we? No. So that's what I was referring to. Otherwise, without those things, simply taking care of a family, what is the spiritual value? What's the point? Our exhortations to take care of your family are based on the fact that Krishna should be in the center. Oh, that is the use. If the holy name is in the center, the deity, everyone may have a little deity at home, but still, there's the archivigra in the temple, which obviously is much more powerful in manifestation. The household is supposed to come and offer service to the deity. Ideally, come see the deity every day. Of course, this is not India. People live further away. It's not like a village in India. Households can just file by in the morning on their way to the fields or their shop or something. Anything else? I know so many people here, devotees, they have families and children, and they're working hard how to take care of their families in a Krishna conscious way. Hopefully, you all will get things very solid so that newer householders, they will have a good example to follow. They'll be able to come to you for advice how to make it through the sometimes tumultuous waters. That's the best thing. If there are very exemplary householders who can set the example for it. For others. But if you all can do that here in Christ Church, you'll find that there are many couples throughout New Zealand who want some guidance. They want some examples to see. So you will be the ones who set the standard. You have to not only think of your own well-being, but also how you're going to, you must think of how you're going to affect others.